Hello and welcome once again to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching of the Wash and Word. Here you can listen to verse-by-verse Bible teachings that we play on the air at 1260 AM radio, Monday through Friday at 8:30 AM. You can also go to washandword.com and hear these messages or download them for free. Just go to washandword.com, go to the media tab, and there you can listen to these. And also we play them on a loop through a small radio transmitter that broadcasts into the parking lot of our building. The Wash and Word is a hand car washing business in Church Hill. We're located on Highway 11W in the Powell Shopping Center. And there we broadcast these messages on 107.1 FM for all to listen to whenever they want to come in and just flip their radio over to that. All right, let's go back to where we left off, that this is a verse-by-verse teaching, and we'll pick up where we left off. We just got done looking at the section of scripture where Jesus was talking about in John chapter 12. We read verse 37 through 41, and so many people that were with him who saw the miracles still didn't believe that he was the Messiah, which really boggles my mind. And yet there was a reflection there of Isaiah some 800 years later, who never truly saw Jesus in the flesh, but caught a glimpse of the glorified Jesus. And we made the attachments yesterday, and this bears repeating, but when we're talking about the different aspects of Jesus, they touch our lives and ourselves in a different way. For instance, a wounded Jesus touches our hearts. A miracle performing Jesus touches our emotions. An angry Jesus will touch our adrenaline. A teaching Jesus touches our intellect, and a dying Jesus touches our mortality. But only a glorified Jesus can touch our soul. And this is how we ended in our last message, that, you know, Isaiah only caught a moment's glimpse of Jesus, but he caught that glimpse in the Spirit. And what God can do in the Spirit in a moment can supersede a lifetime of fleshly, natural manifestations of Christ. In other words, we need to be attached to our Lord spiritually, or everything else we do isn't going to have the effect on our lives that we need it to happen. It isn't going to change us and conform us into the image of Christ. It is that moment that we connect with the glorified, risen Savior, and that we do so, as the Bible says, in spirit and in truth. And that is why we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching, because we want all of God's Word to be permeating the very depths of your soul so that you can connect with your Savior in the same manner, through spirit and truth, that you may glance a moment's glimpse upon the glorified Christ and be conformed. Let's pick it up now where we left off. Look at verse 42. It says, "Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved praise from men more than praise from God." Let's stop right there. So we kind of mentioned a little bit about this a couple of messages ago, where we mentioned about the disciples in the book of Acts. They were being persecuted and told not to preach the name of Jesus. And, you know, their reply was, we can't stop. We cannot but speak about what we have seen and what we have heard. It wasn't even a voluntary thing. It was involuntary. They cannot but speak about Christ. And they say that they believed on him, in what we just read, these people that were here, says many of them, even among the leaders, believed in him, yet they still lived in fear of man. They feared that they were going to be kicked out of the synagogue. They feared that they were going to be excommunicated. And so fear of man trumped the praise of man. That is, they feared what could happen to them if they followed Jesus. Listen, you cannot truly believe, know, trust, or even see Jesus and then remain silent. It's basically an impossibility if you truly taste the Lord. And I know there are a lot of closet Christians out there, and you can be a closet Christian. You can be one who doesn't do a whole lot, who doesn't speak out and evangelize at their workplace or in their circle of friends. And you could be a Christian and nobody will ever know. But therein lies the problem. Because what good is a faith that is unproclaimed? If you do not share your Christian faith and your Christian belief naturally, if it isn't something that you automatically do, if it doesn't just come out, if you can carry on a conversation and then you cannot but speak about your faith and about Jesus, then you need to check the validity of your conversion. Because you cannot remain silent about Christ and still claim that you have seen him and tasted him. It's just not conducive. It doesn't line up. And when these leaders and these Jews say that they believe Jesus, and at the same moment say that they feared to speak of his name, what they are saying is, we believe so long as it does not affect our lives in any way. And does that resonate with you? Does that maybe draw up a red flag? Or I hope not, but it's too many of us are running around with that same mentality. Matthew 7:21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven." Listen, being a closet Christian, being a quiet Christian, I can assure you that is not the will of the Father. And dare I say, you run the risk, according to the Lord's words, of not entering the kingdom of heaven. That's why I say you need to check your conversion, check your relationship. Because if you are conforming your Christianity into something that will fit your life without altering it, stop. Just stop doing that. You don't put Christianity into what will fit into your life. You alter your life to fit into Christianity. That is the purpose of being a believer. That is the job of the Holy Spirit, that you become altered, that you become conformed, that you become transformed and reformed. Where and into what? Well, the image of Christ. Born again, as the Bible puts it. Listen, the more of the world that is in us that we put to death, the more of the flesh that rules us, that we put to death, the more that God can use us in his army. Friends, do you know? God is looking to raise up an army in these last days. He is not looking for a wishy-washy closet Christian to stand up and fight for him in these last days. And do not make any mistake that we are not in these last days. The Bible says there will be a great apostasy. And that is because there will be so many believers who have been taught and trained up into such a skimpy version of God's word that they are not equipped to handle what is about to go down in this world. But God is looking for warriors, true warriors who are strong in their faith, who adhere to every jot and tittle of the word of God, who do not bow down or shy away from speaking about Jesus. Check your validity of your conversion. Check your relationship with God. Check to see and make sure that your Christianity isn't conforming into your life, but rather your life is conforming into Christianity. Because the more your life radically changes, listen, the greater effect you will have on people around you. And there's no elaboration needed for that. The more your life radically changes, the greater effect you will have on the people around you. Friends, it's time for a heart check. It's time for a gut check. Because we need to destroy the flesh so that we become more like him. For the sake of the people around us. That is your witness. That is your service to God. That is your reasonable sacrifice. Let's continue reading. Verse 44 says, "Then Jesus cried out, When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. And when he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. As for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, listen, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him on the last day, for I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. All right, we'll stop there. That's the end of chapter 12. But let's take a look at what Jesus has said here. What we see kind of is sort of a farewell speech of sorts. He's basically saying, this is it for many of his public listeners. This is the summary nutshell of his ministry. That is why in verse 44, it says, then Jesus cried out. And there have been other places in this Gospel of John where we've talked about the different tones that Jesus had. And whenever he cries out, it's to convey an important message and an extreme urgency. And here he's crying out. You can feel the passion and the importance and the urgency and the dire need to be heard for their sake. But Jesus says, if you don't want to hear, I don't judge you. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, a man or a woman or a person or even the Savior himself can only pour out their heart and soul for so long until there comes a time where there is a line that is drawn and the listener must make a decision. And what happens to a person that crosses that line? Can that line be crossed before death, or is there always hope until the final breath? Well, personally, I believe that a person can reach a point that they are beyond salvation for one reason or another. And I know this doesn't sound like it lines up with the Word of God, but God knows who is going to be saved and who is not in the end. And I believe that there comes a point where a person will harden their heart so much that they can no longer receive the unction of the Holy Spirit. And this kind of ties in with the infinite knowledge of God to those that he foreknew would be saved. But remember, the Savior's spirit and his character is oozing with mercy. But there is a cutoff time for everything. If you don't pay your bill in time, there's a cutoff date where you'll be charged a late fee. If you don't, you know, get to work on time, there's a cutoff time where you will be late. There's a cutoff time for everything. And even if even if mercy and a stiff neck is not the issue here, one final plea from the Savior right here, even if the mercy tank, as it were, is all but empty, one final plea before death is all that it takes. But this may be the last time that these people will hear Jesus. And that's why Jesus is crying out. And he's saying, before it is too late. But even if it's not these people we're talking about, even if it's you right now out there listening to my voice, you may die tonight. There may not be a tomorrow for you to accept the Lord. And if you're still open to the idea of turning your life over to Christ, but just not yet, maybe later you'll think about getting right with God, don't take that for granted. If you're still open, surrender now. Let go and just get with the Lord. You know, Jesus loves you, and he has come to give you life, life abundantly, and life eternal with him in heaven. Stop taking it for granted if you're already a Christian. I need you to take an inventory of your life, because you will not be the warrior that God will draft into his final army. If you want to stand up for the truth and be part of the last day saint who is truly making a difference, then it's time to check your relationship. It's time to get rid of those things that are conforming you rather than you conforming into the image of Christ. With that, I bid you farewell, and I bid you God's blessing, and may you continue to come back to these verse-by-verse Bible teachings, because God's Word can change your life. Have a blessed day.